Any Big Daddy Weave fans? That was a Big Daddy Weave song. A title is Just Like Somebody Else. Good job, good job. And the idea is to be like Jesus, like somebody else, like Him. So let's pray. Lord, that's my desire, and I know it's a desire of many in this room today, is to be more like Jesus. More like Jesus, not just on Sunday morning, but more like Jesus 24/7. And Lord, You know what we're going to face this week that's going to stand in the way of us being more like You. You see those situations, those conversations, that stuff on the computer, those conflicts with family and coworkers. You see all of it, Lord. And we're asking right now that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You will help us be more like Jesus no matter what comes our way. Lord, that's our desire. It's in Your name we pray. Amen. We're in the second week of our series called New. And this morning I want to talk about what I've entitled The God of a New Day. If you're like me, as you read through the Bible and you look at some of the people in the Bible, their stories, you quickly come to see that they actually had pretty questionable histories. Take, for example, a man that you're all aware of. His name is Peter. He's this guy who did some great things that we read about in the Bible, but yet he's the same guy who denied that he knew Jesus not just once, not just twice, but three times. He denied he knew Jesus. When Jesus needed him the most, in the hour of his desperate need, Peter denied that he even knew him. And what's so amazing is that Jesus gave him a second chance. And Peter went on to help build the church of Jesus Christ. And then we have a man named Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was a man who persecuted and imprisoned Christians. And again, what is so amazing about the story is that God gave Paul a second chance. And he went on to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ through missionary journeys over much of the known world at the time. And by the way, he also found time to write 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. It's the same thing in the Old Testament. There's a woman named Rahab. And some of you know her story, how Rahab was a prostitute. But her story doesn't end there because God gave her a second chance. And she went on to become the great, great grandmother of King David. And her name is recorded in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. You will probably remember that King David, who was an adulterer and a murderer. He committed adultery with the wife of his friend who served on his army. And you talk about betrayal and deceit. Then to cover up his actions, he had his friend Uriah murdered. But not only did God give David a second chance, God said this about David. He said, he is a man after my own heart. And we see over and over throughout the Bible that God is a God of second chances and new beginnings and new days. Today we're going to look at another second chance, new day story. We're looking at a man named Matthew. Matthew was one of Jesus' 12 disciples who, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote the first book of the New Testament. Anyone know the name of that book? Come on! Shout it out! Good. After that Big Daddy Weave song, how could you fall back asleep? Matthew, first book. He's one of the four gospel writers. But we see that his character was a little lacking. But his story is one of amazing grace. and the incredible love of God. Before we go into his story, I want to ask you two questions about your life story. You all have a life story. Every one of us has a life story. Question number one, what do you believe God thinks of your life story to this point in your life? Question number two, when God sees you, does he only look at your past and all of the mistakes you made and all the things you've done wrong? Now, God didn't bring you here on the first Sunday of March to scold you through any words I could say. That's not God's intent, and that's not my intent. He didn't bring you here to make you feel bad about yourself. He brought you here because he wants you to know that he loves you. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done up until this point in your life, God cares about you today. In fact, God has a plan and a purpose for your life. No matter what has happened in your life story, God wants you to know that he is the God of a new day. Matthew was a man who got a second chance and a new day from God in the flesh, Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that Matthew was a tax collector and he was also Jewish. And the problem with this picture is that you have a Jewish man working for the Roman government who were the despised occupiers of the land. Tax collectors in those days were the most hated people in all of society because their fellow countrymen considered them traitors. Matthew was getting rich by swindling and cheating his own people. See, this is how it went. The tax collector would make a deal with the Romans to collect and deliver to the Romans a certain amount of revenue, tax money, from his fellow citizens. Now, once the amount was agreed upon, the tax collector was then free to charge whatever he wanted for his profit margin. Now, you can see how this could quickly get out of hand and how it created such hatred and loathing in the taxpayers. So the more he could get out of his own people, the richer the tax collector would become. Matthew was a wealthy man, but because of the way tax collectors went about their business, his own people despised him. So the only friends that a tax collector would have would be what? Other tax collectors. In that day, a tax collector's testimony wasn't even permitted in a court of law because nobody trusted these guys. Their reputation was that they were liars, they were swindlers, and they were only looking out for themselves and living for themselves. You know, as I thought about Matthew and as you think about Matthew, you wonder what in the world would lead a man to take on that kind of job as his career. And the first thing that came to my mind, it must have been, you know, a love of money motivated him, no doubt. But he also had to have some kind of hard heart that would drive him to have such a callous disregard for his own people. And then maybe Matthew felt some kind of hopelessness. And maybe he thought, we're being governed by the Romans. That doesn't look like there's going to be any time soon that that's going to change. And, you know, I might as well take advantage of the situation, get all the money I can out of this deal. The money's good enough. I really don't care what other people think of me. But in spite of all the money, Matthew was spiritually bankrupt. All Jewish men knew that a tax collector could never go to the Jewish synagogue, the place of worship. Today it would be like saying that a tax collector couldn't come to church because God wouldn't allow him to enter. Now, as far as I know, we don't have any IRS agents attending Faith Fellowship, do we? Now is the time to reveal yourself. But here's the thing. If an IRS agent wants to come to Faith Fellowship, guess what? Those doors are going to be wide open. A Jewish tax collector was told that his prayers would never be listened to, let alone answered by God. They were told they had no hope of ever receiving any kind of mercy from God, no matter what they tried to do to make things right with God. The tax collectors believed it was truly hopeless, and there was nothing they could do to ever be made right before God. When it came to things about God, I have to believe that Matthew thought, you know, it's too late for me. I've crossed the line. There's nothing I can do to make things different. I made my bed. I'm going to lay in it. I have no chance at all after I die. I might as well get everything I can on this earth, because when this life is over, it's good riddance for me. So that, in a nutshell, is Matthew and the life that he's living. But the story doesn't end there, because one day Jesus stepped into his life. With just two words, Jesus changed everything about him. Read it with me, please. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Here are those two words. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. Two words. What are they? There are three things we can learn from Matthew's story. And these things tell us not only what happened to Matthew, but how God does similar things with you and me. Because he was omniscient and God in the flesh, Jesus saw and understood Matthew and his life story in a way that no other person could. And just like Matthew, or Jesus saw Matthew for who he was, Jesus sees you and me today. And he understands us. And he knows all about us. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. So here's the first thing we can learn from Matthew's story. Jesus sees me for who I am, but still loves me as I am. Jesus sees me for who I am, but still loves me as I am. Jesus shows up where Matthew worked during his working hours. Jesus knew Matthew was ripping off people and hurting them economically, but Jesus still loved him. No other rabbi, no other religious teacher in that day would have risked his reputation to be a friend of a tax collector. No one else would do something like that. But that was the way of Jesus. What this shows us is that Jesus isn't afraid of any sinner, and he's not afraid of any sinner's lifestyles. Just the opposite. Jesus cares for and loves sinners just the way they are. Paul writes this, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Christ showed the ultimate form of love to sinners like myself. He died for me. So we go on. Let's look at more of the story. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors
and sinners. Can't you just feel that? Don't you know they just had, oh, it dripped off their lips. Sinners, tax collectors. Ah. Give me the creeps. Why were the religious people so shocked at what Jesus was doing?
They were shocked, and they found it outrageous because to have a meal with somebody at their house represented friendship, it represented acceptance of that person, and it represented love for that person. So how could Jesus, this supposed holy man, be showing friendship and acceptance and love to someone who is unfit to be around? Matthew was excited that Jesus was coming to his house, and he doesn't spare any expense to prepare a wonderful meal. He invites all his tax collector friends and all his sinner friends to come to this great feast and meet this man named Jesus. So Jesus was caught partying with the wrong crowd. And it was a disgrace in the eyes of the religious leaders. How dare you, Jesus? Jesus didn't care what they thought because he was on a mission. And here's his mission right here. The mission found in Luke 19:10. The Son of Man, Jesus, came to find what kind of people? Lost people, and then do what for them? Save them. So it was a two-pronged mission. He's going to find lost people, and then he's going to save lost people. The same Jesus who was on a mission and found Matthew 2,000 plus years ago is the same Jesus looking to find spiritually lost people today all over the world because he loves them. Just like he loved Matthew. The first thing our story tells us, Jesus sees me for who I am, but still loves me as I am. Here's the second thing we learn from Matthew's story. Jesus calls me to follow just as I am. Jesus calls me to follow just as I am. Jesus didn't tell Matthew to change anything about his lifestyle or his beliefs. You can't find that in the scriptures. He just said, follow me. Follow me. In fact, look at the next verse. On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Jesus here is quoting part of a verse from the Old Testament book of Hosea. Remember, he's talking to these religious guys, these Pharisees, who were so self-righteous. And they knew the story behind this phrase, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. They knew that Jesus was rebuking them for having a religion without mercy. Mercy means kindness and an attitude of love towards someone in a sad condition. Matthew is in a sad condition because of what he allowed himself to become. He was a greedy and corrupt man who had let his love of money rule his heart and destroy him spiritually. What Jesus is saying to those Pharisees is that I don't represent the religion you're pushing. I want you to care for people. I want you to love people. And I want you to love me. I don't want your rules. I want a relationship. Jesus didn't call Matthew to a strict code of behavior. Jesus didn't call Matthew to a list of rules and do's and don'ts. Jesus called Matthew to follow him just as he was. Jesus didn't call Matthew to follow religion. He called him to a friendship with the Son of God. Man, what a deal. He said, follow me. Jesus didn't say, here, I got this list of 20 rules and these 40 laws. I want you to follow them before you follow me. He said, follow me. So Jesus sees me for who I am, but he still loves me as I am. And Jesus says and calls me to follow just as I am. Here's the third thing we learn from our story. Jesus won't leave me as I am. I follow as I am, but Jesus won't leave me as I am. His invitation to Matthew had no conditions attached to it because it was an invitation filled with mercy and grace. He didn't make Matthew jump through a bunch of hoops before he could be his follower. He didn't make Matthew change his life before he could be one of Christ's followers. He didn't make Matthew correct anything about himself at that time. He didn't shame him. He didn't say, what in the world are you doing, Matthew? He didn't do that. He just offered him a new beginning and a new day when he said, follow me. Follow me. The call to Matthew was a picture of God's mercy and grace to a man in need of it. And I'm so thankful and grateful that that same mercy and grace is available to every person in this room, because we all need it. Can I hear an amen? Jesus says, just like he said to Matthew, follow me and I'll change your life. I'll change your life. Follow me and I'll give you a new day and a new life. It's the grace of God that enables us to make the changes that need to happen in our lives. It's the grace of God that turned Matthew from a sinner into a follower of Jesus. And as I said, it's the same grace of God that will give you and me a second chance and a new day. God is the only one who can do this spiritual work in us. There's no other one. And not only will he start the work, but the Bible says he will complete the work in us if we let him. Paul writes in Philippians 1:6, I am sure that the, what kind of work? Good work God began in you will continue until he what? Completes it on the day when Jesus Christ comes again. God's working in you. He began the work and he will complete the work. Spiritual salvation isn't a reward for the good things you've done. And all of you have done some good things in your life. You may need to hear this again. Spiritual salvation isn't a reward for the good things you have done. Paul writes in Ephesians, I mean that you have been saved by grace because you believe. You did not save yourselves. It was a gift from God. You are not saved by the things you have done, so there's nothing to boast about. In other religions, you have to stop sinning in order to be saved. But in the way of Christ, you have to be saved in order to have the power to stop sinning. You see the difference there? Shake your heads. In other religions, salvation and forgiveness and the hope of heaven are the final steps, the final accomplishment as you try to climb up your little stairway to heaven. But in the way of Christ, salvation and forgiveness are the first steps, the little bitty baby steps. God starts us there, and then He says, this is a gift to you. So now, let me show you how to walk in this gift that I've given you. None of us can earn God's forgiveness. We don't deserve God's forgiveness. We can't buy His forgiveness, no matter how generous you are to Christian ministries or to this church. In 1989, there was a great animated movie. Well, it got 50% on Rotten Tomatoes, so I don't know how good it was. But my daughter liked it, and it was called All Dogs Go to Heaven. Remember that one?
Yeah.
Now, here's a heads up for you that may change your eternal destiny. So lean in. All dogs may go to heaven, but good people don't go to heaven. What did he say? What did he say? What I said. Good people don't go to heaven. Not good people. Forgiven people. Forgiven people. Only forgiven people go to heaven. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is what? Eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I want eternal life, and I know that you want eternal life. There's only one way. The gift of God. The only way to get God's forgiveness is to accept His free gift of His grace. Jesus would say to us in this room today, as He would say to Matthew, follow me, and I'll take care of all those other things in your life. We'll deal with them. But just begin to follow me. And the Bible says Matthew got up and he left everything and he followed Jesus. You got to think about what Matthew was leaving when he did that. Matthew knew he was taking an enormous risk. He knew he could never go back to his old life. He couldn't say, well, you know, if things don't work out with this Jesus guy, I'll just go back and get my job back with the Romans and I'll be a tax collector again. You know, I know. He couldn't go back. He had abandoned his post. He left everything sitting there. Not only the tax money that was received, the account books, everything. The old life, he left it behind. He got up and left it all to follow Jesus. The Romans weren't going to give his job back, and he knew that. And no respectable Jewish person would give him anything either because of what he had done to them. So Matthew's all in. He's completely committed and surrendered to the call of Jesus. Follow me. And that speaks to me of a man who was desperate for a relationship with God. It speaks to me of a man who was desperate for acceptance and love and friendship with the Son of Man. Here's a man who had been told by a whole religious system that he had gone too far and it's too late for you. You are trash, scum of the earth. You've made too many mistakes. You cheated too many people. You're too unclean for God. That's what Matthew believed in his heart. So at the first chance to get a new day, Matthew jumped at it. What else was he leaving besides leaving his job? Well, he was leaving his guilt. He was leaving his shame. He was leaving the sins of his past. He left all those things that he hated. And he stepped into a new life and a new day. What about you today? Jesus has given the same invitation to you. Follow me. Follow me. Now here's the question. Have you accepted his invitation? So I want to go back to the two questions we started with. Number one was, what do you believe God thinks of your life story to this point in your life? And when God sees you, does he only look at your past and your mistakes and all the things you've done wrong? And here's a couple more questions. Do you, as you sit here today, believe that you're beyond God's mercy and grace? Do you think there's no way that God could forgive you and give you a new day? Let me just say, if you think anything like that, you're being lied to by the devil. This is no other way to say it. You are being lied to by the devil to deceive you. Because in 1 John 1:9, where I've run to many times in my life to find comfort for my own sinful soul, we read this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all of our sins. If. This verse tells me there are second chances, there are third chances, there are 50th chances. If I confess my sins to God and just let him bring me into a new day of forgiveness and his righteousness. Jesus is speaking to all of us today the same words that he spoke to Matthew. Follow me. Follow me. None of us in this place, and I don't know your history and you don't know my history, but I can say with full authority on the Word of God that none of us is beyond the reach of forgiveness. And here's the proof of it right here. The most famous verse in the Bible. Yes, God loved the world so much that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him would not be, what's that word? Lost, but have eternal life. Wasn't that his mission? To find the lost? You say, yeah, Pastor David, but what about my past? Well, right there it says, everyone who believes in him. What about my drug addiction? What about my alcoholism? Well, right there, the Bible says, everyone who believes in him. What about my lust? What about my adultery? What about my addiction to pornography? John says, everyone who believes in him. What about the things I've done to hurt people with my lies and my hatred? Again, let me point you to the Bible, not to something I would say, but it says right there, everyone who believes in him. There's an everyone who believes in him for all of us. And it destroys each of our excuses to step into the new day that Jesus is calling us when he says, follow me. Follow me. So what's it going to be for you? Is it going to be follow or reject? There are only two choices. There's not a wait. Because if you say, I'm going to wait for a... that's rejection. Follow or reject? When I get to heaven someday, and I can say that based upon my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the assurance I have on the Word of God that I will go to heaven, I'm going to look up this guy named Matthew. I'm going to look up all these Bible characters. I'm going to have all eternity. I'm going to look him up. And I believe Matthew's going to tell me that the best thing he ever did in his life was to get up and follow Jesus into the new day that he offered. So why don't you make that decision? Stop living the old life, whatever that is for you, and step into the new life and the new day that God has for you. Matthew shows us that there's no man or woman that is beyond God's forgiveness. And also his story shows us there's no forgiven man or woman, regardless of what they've done, that the Lord God in heaven can't use for his glory. So make that decision today. You can do it right there where you sit while I pray. Say, Jesus, I'm ready to follow you. I'm ready to go all in today. Lord God, we thank you for the story of Matthew, a very flawed individual, very sinful man. He was in need of a new day. He was in need of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, as we sit here today, there may be someone in this room that is in need of a new day. They need to put the old life behind them and step into the new day, the new life that only Jesus can offer. And you're calling on their heart right now, follow me, follow me. And we'll deal with all the rest of it later, but just begin. Follow me. Say yes to me today. And Lord, as the Holy Spirit speaks to hearts, I pray that people would respond and they wouldn't reject Jesus, but they would say, Jesus, I want to follow you beginning today. And I put my full faith and trust in you, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. And Lord, I know by the authority of the scriptures that we've seen today, that if we confess our sins, you're faithful to forgive us our sins. So we can walk out of this place a new person. We can walk out into a new day of life and living for you. So make it possible today, Lord, we pray in your precious name. Amen. As every Sunday, there are prayer teams on both sides. You can come up for prayer for something in your life. Pray for something, a family, friend, whatever it might be, the country. Just let me invite you. These people who are brothers and sisters in Christ of yours would love to have you come up and pray. God bless you today.